Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources. Welcome back, Colin.
Thank you, and Happy New Year, both of you. A bit belated, but I think this is the best site to say and best time to say Happy New Year.
Absolutely. So yeah. Obviously, today the company announced the proposed disposal of the Manica Gold Project in Mozambique. The Manica Gold Project, held by the company's subsidiary Explorator, includes gold deposits, both hard rock and alluvial. Due to challenging market conditions for junior exploration companies, the company intends to sell the Manica Gold Project for up to $15 million. And Extract will also receive $3.25 million cash to settle all outstanding payments owed by MMP to Extract, with $2 million already paid, and terminate the mining collaboration agreement. The proceeds will be used to accelerate existing copper projects in Zambia and explore new opportunities in southern Africa. Overall, the company aims to sell the Manica Gold Project to mitigate risks and allocate resources to more promising projects in copper and other metals. Do you want to add more on the rationale of this proposed asset sale and more on what the funds will be used for going forward, please, Colin?
Well, gentlemen, I really hope that that does say it, because behind the words are always the words. And first of all, I think we should congratulate our partners of putting this together in a hostile part of the world where they had to face border closures for COVID, et cetera, and we got the operation going. For that, we're pleased. Probably we're half the way down now with the oxides and approaching the transition zone. And as you know, there's absolutely no certainty as the size of the transition zone and the metallurgical processing performance of the transition zone. So we're approaching that time, gents, that we've got to make a decision. We may be invited. The collaboration agreement doesn't rely, enable us to be invited. But if we're invited, we've got to cough up shareholder money or loans to, in actual fact, subscribe to phase two. Now, phase two will include at some time underground mining. We don't want to go there in an hostile situation, a very difficult part of the world, Manica. And similarly, we're not that sure on where the sulfides start, what the metallurgical capabilities are. And of course, if we're minority partners, by definition, we will not be making the final solution. We will not be making the final analysis. We will not be part of developing the final flow sheets. And we will not be part of the final capital structure. And so indeed, you know, with 23%, you are a silent partner, whether you like it or not. That's a silent partner, which has got all the concessional and regulatory obligations. So I'm not sure that, well, I am sure because we've made this sale. I think this is an optimum time for us to recoup benefit from the sale, have a treasury which can manage. As you know, we are very, very pleased with the northwestern Zambian situation that we've got in any case for the Kamoa site mineralization, plus the small mining opportunities, which are cheap entry and quick to get returns on capital employed. And capital employed is usually less than $200,000-$300,000. So that's where we want to be. So there's an exit at a quite healthy price, because I don't know if you remember, the exit was $20 million, Phil, when we signed the agreement. They could pay us $20 million. Altogether, this comes to about 18.36. And the ore body is well over half depleted. So dare I say, I think it was quite a good exit for our shareholders. And really, the rest that's in the announcement there, that's the rationale. And I do hope that nobody thinks, they're selling the crown jewels, fund risky developments. There's always that, you know, there's always that could be leveled at us. That's not so. The Western Foreland region is out. There's a lot of competition for positions within that geological environment. So rewards will be relatively quick. And to build up cash flow again with a small mine concept, I think will probably take 1 to 2 years. And we'll establish quite a nice income base as well. So we feel that we're giving our shareholders short-term advantage. We don't want to go, if there's any hiccups in Manica, we don't want to go for placings. And similarly, if we were invited, we want complete control over the design of the plant and all what goes with it, you know, the upgraded plant, the sulfides. So all in all, I think it's a timely result, a good result for our shareholders. And we're cognizant of, you know, and I think everybody in the junior section is, everybody keeps saying tomorrow is a better day, but I've yet to see it for 3 years now, Phil.
Yeah. So you just said, I mean, basically cash is king in this current environment, and probably right. And I think in your statement, you said that effectively, the president of Zambia is targeting annual production of sort of 3 million tons of copper per annum. So how confident are you that Extract can become a major key player in that copper discovery and copper development arena in Zambia?
Very, very, Phil. It's not as though we're a new entrant, just got out of the plane, starry-eyed. We've been there the best part of 5 years. We know Zambia. Zambia's been kind to us. It's the place where we're well-known, and I'm pretty sure that, well, there's no buts about it, of course. We've got those two projects. I think we'll probably be able to get another one. And similarly, the Zambia is a bit of an anomaly, really. It's littered with small plants, and they're not that small. Some of them are up to 500,000 tons a year, and what would have got no feed. And we've been very, very strong on the ground talking to the people that have feed, and yet they've no ability whatsoever to actually either transport that feed, start an open cast mine. We don't want to go underground, start an open cast mine, or indeed put some dimensions. You know, we've got our own internal dimensions, which is something like not less than 1 million tons, but around about 150 to 300,000 tons per year. And these things don't need a fortune to capitalize, Phil. They need some little bit of extra drilling, some definition, and make sure you've got a plant within 1%-ish, then your plant has got to be pretty close. But if the ore upgrades, which most do, that's the most money what's been spent. And, you know, we're spending that at Bushrangers too. All over the world, people are taking isolated ore bodies, upgrading the ore, and standing the transport cost to beneficiate the ore and get the copper out of the ground. So it's a changing world which we want to take part in. And as I say, Zambia is quite an anomaly. It's got so many of those situations that we're looking at and following up as well. So we have got a nice, shall we say, pipeline of little projects to look at. And we're very well positioned with our Northwest projects. I don't want to regret what I'm about to say now, but we're gonna go as far as we can under our own management. We don't want to joint venture them if we can, Phil, because the rewards aren't in joint venture. The rewards are getting full value out as a company, and this deal should allow us to do that.
So, Colin, you've sold the crown jewels, as you've just said, and that's what some people are going to say about this situation. Current market capitalization of Extract is about £9.5 million. You have sold this particular deal for 14.5 million sterling, roughly, depending on which day you take the exchange rate and when you receive the money. And you still have all the Zambian assets, Bushranger. So let's look at Bushranger head on, okay? What is the prospect for Bushranger? I mean, I'm quite sure quite a lot of people will be screaming at you saying, do not spend any more money on Bushranger right now, because the copper price isn't conducive to that. What do you say to those people?
Well, first of all, you said it for me. You made a very, very, very good summary. And we haven't, you'd hardly call it selling the crown jewels when you've got a chunk of cash coming in, which is current, much higher than today's market cap. What am I going to say about Bushranger? If copper was $10,000, Bushranger's a project. We took on about 170,000 tons of copper, contained copper. We've now got 1.3 million tons of contained copper. The mine's demonstrated to be quite uniform, lower grade than we wanted, but still quite a reasonable grade. The high-grade portion has never has yet to be investigated as a standalone situation. The project is open in whichever direction you look, including Ascot. So Bushranger is a mine, will be a mine, but we're talking about time. And I don't think it would be sensible for our shareholders to, in actual fact, spend available resources on, I think, fairly predictable now that we'll be getting much of the same. We'll get to 2 million, 2.5 million ton if we kept drilling. But I don't think we'd be doing our shareholders much of a service. There's a lot of interest in Bushranger. We're still carrying on with our conceptual work, death study work. But the big prize is discovery in the short term being 2 years in Zambia. Future is in starting these small mines and having a good position in small mining in Zambia and establishing a reasonable level of monthly income to finance our exploration. And we're into our focus has always been our focus, copper, 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 copper. And of course, you do know that we do like Zambia, we like Namibia, and we like Botswana. We like that part of the world. And I think so does the rest of the world, because the buses and airplanes, everything, you know, they're all arriving there. And I'm afraid a lot of that ground in the Northwest has been taken up. And the president is adamant that he's going to increase the production up to 3 million tons during his term. You saw the deal with Mopani and RB Company came in last week. That's 1.1 billion going on there. You see that Vedanta are going back into KCM.
Yeah.
So a lot's happening. It's very, very, very active place to be with multi opportunities. And, you know, people say to me, Kevin, well, what do you want to be there for? It's over and done in terms of exploration. It's not even touched. In one of our enterprises, we're looking at a place called Shinganda. We're sure we've got an IOCG signature there, not traditional copper belt. But I've said on your podcast so many times, when you start a mine in 1920 and in 2023, it's still got 50 years to go, that's not a massive incentive to go exploring new concepts. We are exploring new concepts. Most people give up, you know, these juniors with the first hole they drill below a Gossan and gee whiz, nothing comes out very good. You should see some of the stuff that we've got at Shinganda. We've reported it. We've announced it. We know we're onto something. And it's just, you know, it's just bringing it home. That's Zambia in a nutshell. Yes.
Okay. So in terms of the licenses that you have in Zambia, okay.
Yes.
What relation are they in terms of where they are in relation to the First Quantum EFP joint venture that is being drilled at the minute? Where are
they? They're in close proximity, and anybody who's making a forecast, whether you know, informed geologists and industry commentators who are making a forecast on where the Kamoa type, the Western Foreland and the Kolwezi mineralization, it's right bang in the middle of it all. And one of us is going to make a discovery, and the one who makes the discovery, be it First Quantum, be it the other players there, are actually going to lift the old profile of the Northwest. And it needn't be us, Kevin, it needn't be us. I'd rather hope it is. But that area will be totally revalued. Big statement, and I'll be criticized for saying it, but I think the Northwest is possibly the best real estate at the moment for new copper exploration. And that doesn't just bring in the technicalities. It brings in the politics, because Zambia is a good and safe place to work. It brings in the history, because it has an history of copper mining. And quite frankly, the industry is speaking in for itself by the players who are trying to get positions in that area. So our shareholders should feel, and I think over the next few weeks, we will make sure that the significance is well understood and taken on board on the importance of that Northwest Zambian couple of positions we've got. And as I say, you know, we're well advanced with our pipeline of projects. We know what we want to do. We know where we want to go. We know the best situations relative to current capacity. And we're doing what I think you've got to do now, Kevin. Cash is king. You've got to look after your cash. You've got to focus, and you've got to apply your resources, people, equipment, and money in a relatively confined area where you're in control of the outcome. And that's the decision the company's taken. And of course, we'll be asking its shareholders at general meeting to support them. And I guess that's the first part of the conversation, this podcast. And I thank you for giving us the forum.
And you also mentioned, Colin, that you have the potential for another asset. Is that likely to be in Zambia as well or elsewhere in Africa?
What I can say with confidence, most of the things we're looking at are copper, and it will definitely be copper, and it would definitely be Southern Africa, you know. That there was so much competition and for attention. We have turned an asset into cash for our shareholders. We've now got a duty to get the best possible asset, in actual fact, investigate them. What we all want and what London wants, Kevin, what London wants is discovery. You know, I look back and it's been ages now, ages, as long as I can remember. It's possibly the last one that we made is the real one, Kalambila, which, by the way, is about 60 kilometers away from where we are now. And we are exhibited with two phases of copper mineralization. One is the typical surface type stuff, which has been discovered in the project area, not this project area, but very close. And of course, then there's the deeper Western Foreland and Kamoa. So it's not as though we're into a geological arena that we know nothing about. We know the geology up in that northwest. And a major discovery, which we sold for $265 million.
And when do you think we're gonna hear more news from First Quantum African Pioneer? Because obviously there has been issues with African Pioneer, with First Quantum, with what's happened to them in Panama. Can you say anything that's going to help people think yes, this is going to be a good result?
It would be entirely incorrect of me to predict what's going to happen in Panama. All I know is that we've got our quarterly report. They're very bullish, and we'll have something to tell the market very soon. But to comment on, you know, these political situations with major mining companies and governments are difficult enough without somebody like Colin Bird, who's, you know, in junior space, making his projections on what the outcome might be. I think the as a personal comment, not as a company comment, the situation is rather sad. I feel for First Quantum, and but they've got very positive management who's had their difficulties before, like we all have. And I'm sure they've managed through it very positively.
And they can
I think in a nutshell, we're happy we've got First Quantum as partners, and as always in my entire history, they've shown themselves the professional unit they are. And I don't think I can comment outside our joint venture.
Yeah, but is it fair to say that this joint venture, if it has the potential that we all hope it has, will actually be a bit of a game changer for First Quantum as well in terms of quality and quantity of copper available?
Well, every CEO, you know, from BHP to First Quantum to Rio Tinto to Freeport to SAP32, you keep going, you know, you keep naming them, you know the names, are desperately looking to acquire and to acquire ground for its inventory, because the sales side of copper 2 years forward, the copper available for saleable copper for sale, it's a dismal picture. I don't know. I know the people are going to say, oh, there's Birdie again with his copper story. It's been slow to take off. And let's face it, two world wars are a pretty difficult environment to shoot against. Two significant world wars. And then prospects of China going on the back foot economically. But Phil, Kevin, we have to face up to it that it's not all about electric vehicles. It's about an emerging world who's got a need for those materials that copper basically goes into. And that applies for nickel. This world is changing. The copper is going to be the new industrial revolution. I've been silly enough to say that wars were fought over oil and there might be fought over copper. I still feel exactly the same. There's going to be a massive push. The Chinese push for raw materials, and particularly copper, remains the same. There are other players in the space. And my feel is that when you look at the price of about, what is it today, 8,002, with the headwinds it's got against it, looking back for the last 10 years, copper are doing extremely well in this environment. And we'll just watch this space late 2024 and 25. It's the right metal to be in. I'm absolutely convinced, never been more convinced. Our boards are all convinced. And quite frankly, if we got it wrong, we got it wrong. And I think a lot of players like Goldman Sachs has got it wrong, JP Morgan. So we're in a pretty capable crowd of failure. It's almost inevitable. Nothing's inevitable. I mean, the world could collapse tomorrow. But in terms of, we've got a normal world with normal business, with the disadvantage suffering at the moment, copper is going to have its big day because the supply is actually looking desperate, Kevin. It's actually looking desperate.
Yeah. So assuming that this proposed disposal goes ahead, obviously it's got to be ratified at the EGM or general meeting, and, you know, rainy season finishes, etc. So what can the shareholders look and listeners look forward to in 2024 in terms of exploration? You want to just talk through some of the roadmap for 24, Colin, please?
Yeah, you've hit it on the nose, haven't we? We're doing all our desperate service. What we're doing is, I like cartoons. That's how Callum Beale's first hole was actually developed. I'm telling you secrets now. We sat there one night and I wouldn't go to bed. And we got this great piece of paper. We drill every single hole at Callum Beale. The geologists love straight lines, you know, and you can't always have them. And miners can draw a straight line from Perth to London. So we can be as equally dangerous. But I put every bit of information on the paper that we could possibly have, done by lots and lots of companies over many, many years. And we elected to drill hole one. And you know, hole one at Callum Beale was 114 meters, I think at 1.2%, something like that. It was an absolutely cracker of an hole. Now, of course, there was an element of luck in that. But to me, that's before you employ the big machine, that's what you're going to do. Because, you know, drilling these deep holes is expensive and drilling any holes is expensive. And so we've got, the team of geologists, you know, we've got Martin there. We've got the former head of Anglo Africa, Mike Holman. We've got a very conceptual geologist called Hunter, who's got an MSc. We just recruited another graduate geologist who's got an MSc and who's basically showed himself to be a bit of a live wire in the world. And we've got the local knowledge as well. And that's all being applied as we all sit. And we're doing that whopping great cartoon. I'm telling too much today. Doing that massive cartoon where every bit of information we can get is on one general map. And we're trying to get to trends. We're getting to structures, to drivers. And the popular word in geology nowadays is architecture. So without employing all this fancy deep geophysics, we've got the benefit of that report out of this report. We're actually trying to get a vision of where we go. And you're absolutely right, Mike. We've got to go in. We've got to go in probably as the rains begin to dry with the trenches. And we've got to be drilling around about April, May, no doubt about it. It is seasonal. You've got to get there. But we're so blessed with information packages that, it's not going to be an... Of course, it's guesswork. It's always guesswork. But boy, that guesswork is supported by a stack of information and trends. And we know we can do some surface drilling to actually establish the type of mineralization we've got. We can check out for the faults. And then, of course, sooner or later, we've got to check that Western Foreland. But not before we've put together a regional profile of where we are. So you've hit it on the nose, Phil. There's only one way. But there's a lot of work you can do in this day and age before you actually get the big machine out. And that is going on as you and I are sitting and talking. But I mean, do you see that team? You've got a 25-year-old new MSC, all the way up to Anglo's ex-head of exploration. What a team. And the conceptual, they're open-minded. But you've got guys who work for big companies. You've got guys who are just starting out in their careers, but have had extremely good education. We're going to give it its best shot. And I'm hopeful for our shareholders that our best shot works. But having said that, remember, we're not the only ones there. There are other companies drilling as well. And I think by the time we get to June next year, within the various licenses, there'll be five areas being drilled. One of us is going to hit the jackpot. And I don't necessarily think it needs to be us, because the one who hits the jackpot will lift the region up. Ivanhoe know it's there. I mean, Ivanhoe are in Kamoa. They're only 60 kilometers up the road in the Congo. They know the Western Foreland is highly prospective. They know it goes into Zambia. And they're down there too, looking around. So I think we've positioned...
Colin, when you say next year, do you mean this year?
Oh, good Lord, I do mean this year. Yeah, of course I do. I'm sorry. Yes, what I mean is when the rains have stopped around about May. Of course I do.
Okay, great. I mean, I think basically, from the way I look at it is there was the potential to have the drip feed of the gold coming in from Manuka. The reality is there was also going to be a large spend and a risk there involved in the spend to take it to the next level in Manuka. So instead, you have said, no, okay, thanks, guys. What will you buy the project offers for? Because effectively, we haven't got the decision-making power anyway. You've come out of that with £14 million plus in sterling with a market cap of 9.5 million. And not all bets, because I think Bushranger is potentially still a game changer for Extract. Obviously, right now, it's a no-go. But, if you do hit something in Zambia, this is going to be the sky's the limit, I think. And you're going to have cash to do it over the next 3 or 4 years. So we hope to see you drilling when we're there. And good luck.
Yeah. Well, in the words of poor old Kenny Rogers has died now, but we shouldn't forget what his song said. You've got to know when to hold them. You've got to know when to fold them. You've got to know when to walk. You've got to know when to run. We're folding them, and we think we're folding them for a great situation for our shareholders. But equally, don't forget, we've got a brand new set of cards. The Bushranger Ace, we've got that nicely tucked under the carpet as well.
Very good. On that note, we'll say Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Always nice to talk to you both.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.